and we welcome you in this place. Father, as we've just sung, Holy Spirit, may you fill this place, flood this place with your presence. God, because if you're not here, we don't need to be here. So, Father, I just say welcome. Father, we thank you for the opportunity to gather in your house this morning. We thank you for the opportunity to open your word and for you to speak to our hearts. Lord, help us to be hearers of the word and doers of the word this morning, God. Lord, we thank you for all that you've done. Lord, all that you've brought us through. Congregation, I'm just asking you to just pray for yourself just this moment. Pray that God would speak to your heart, that you would be ready to respond to what he has to say. Then I want to ask you to pray for me. Pray that God would, he would use me and it would be his words and not mine. Hide me behind the cross. Father, speak to us this morning. Lord, we love you. We trust you. We ask these things in your precious name. Amen. Well, you may not, you probably realize I'm not Scott. I don't think I resemble him too much. I'm a little shorter than he is. But our pastor is away. In fact, he's at, I believe, Trinity Baptist in Kerrville this morning. Trinity Baptist, if you weren't here for the our first family meeting a little while ago, Pastor Scott mentioned that Trinity gave to us as a church $65,000. And so Pastor Scott felt like the right thing to do was to go and to thank them personally. So that is where he is this morning. So he is thanking Trinity for their gracious gift that they have given us. So that is why I am up here this morning. And so it has been, about 3 months since the storm. We're almost 3 months removed. And, in so many ways, the devastation is still very real. There is, as you're driving down 35, it's evident in the fact that you're seeing the debris piles. And you know that there is destruction and devastation all around our city and our community. And there is many of you, perhaps, have been affected in your home, in and around your home. But also, we're at the point where it almost seems like it's starting to feel, a little ways away from it. Some things are getting more and more back to normal. We've got businesses that are opening again. We've got a cross that is lit, and we've got lights in the hallways, amen to that. Our schools are back, and our football team is in the playoffs. They won a playoff game. So great things. But being a part of the volunteer efforts and kind of coordinating with the Volunteer Reception Center here at the church, I know daily that there is still a lot of work to be done. There's still a lot of devastation that is out there. And time after time, we have homeowners that come in that need help in and around their homes, and it's been awesome to see volunteers that go out, the different organizations. We've had the Texas Baptist Men. They took the week off for Thanksgiving. We said, okay, but they're coming back. They left all their stuff, so they at least have to come back for that. So organizations like the Texas Baptist Men, the Samaritan's Purse, all these different church organizations and churches that have come, it's neat to see that. But it's not surprising. Can I be honest? I'm not surprised that Christians that love the Lord have come to help the people that are in need, have come to help other brothers and sisters and just people in general. to show the love and be the hands and feet of Jesus. It's not surprising. It's awesome to see and be a part of that, but it's not surprising. It is kind of surprising at times when we just have some random volunteers. It's not uncommon that we just have people that will come through, good-hearted people that don't come necessarily because they are followers of Jesus and don't necessarily come because they want to be the hands and feet of Jesus, but they come because they just want to do good. They want to help out their fellow man. They want to, you know, they want to do what they see is right. And there are times when that becomes a little surprising, right? We live in a society and a culture that tells us that, you know, the survival of the fittest, right? You know, you're in it for yourself, and how you can get ahead is what all that matters. That's what the culture tells us. But we have people like this that come, and so it's a little shocking at times. And I begin to kind of think about that and wrestle with that. And what I think an answer to that happens in Genesis. In Genesis 1, we see that God has created the world, he's created the universe, he's created everything, creates the animals, and then he gets to the end of creation and he says, "Let us make man in our image," right? It says, "In the image of God, he created them, male and female, he created them." We are created in the image of God. So every single one of us in this room, every single one of us on this globe has been created with the image of God. We have the image of God imprinted on us. And so Jesus enters into the scene and he shows what love is by showing love to others and living a sacrificial life by allowing himself to die on the cross. And then we see in First John 4, we see that God is love. So love created us in his image. And so there's that imprint, that image of God, I believe, is the love of God that's imprinted upon us all. And so the reason why sometimes we have, it's not surprising that we as believers show the love of God and come to help fellow man, but sometimes it's not surprising now because of the people that come that don't know the Lord, that there's the evidence of the truth of who God is by the imprint of the image of him. They're coming because, whether they believe it or not, it's because they've been imprinted with the image of love on their heart. And so this morning, I want us to look at love. Let love be genuine is what we're going to look at. So flip with me to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. I'll be honest, life has not been very easy and has been very busy for me for the last 3 months, as I'm sure many of you. And so I don't have slides. So you're just going to have to listen very intently this morning. So apologize for that, and I'll try to say the verse time and time again. Romans chapter 12, all right? Romans chapter 12. We're going to zero in on verses 9 through 21, but I want us to start with Romans chapter 12, verse 1. Romans chapter 12. He says this, and I'm reading again out of the English Standard Version this morning. "I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect." Let me stop there for a second. What is the will of God? Let me just kind of give you a hint at this. The will of God is to love God and love your neighbor. That's what Jesus taught us. The greatest commandments hang on is this: to love the Lord God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and to love your neighbor as yourself. That's the will of God. So going on, "For by grace you have been given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. Whereas in one body we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function. So though many, we are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another. Having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, in proportion to our faith. If service, in our serving. To the one who teaches, in his teaching. to the one who exhorts in his exhortation, the one who contributes in generosity, the one who leads with zeal, the one who does acts of mercy with cheerfulness. Let love be genuine. Abhor what is evil, hold fast to what is good. Love one another with brotherly affection, outdo one another in showing honor. Do not be slothful in zeal, be fervent in spirit, serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope, be patient in tribulation, be constant in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints and seek to show hospitality. Bless those who persecute you, bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice, weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Never be wise in your own sight. Repay no one evil for evil, but give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all. If possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God. For it is written, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay," says the Lord. To the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. For by so doing, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. We could sit here and unpack that passage, 9 through 21, for a week. But we're not going to do that this morning, because I'm not going to hold you that long. I just want to zero in on a few things here at the beginning, these few verses. But everything kind of overarches under this idea of let love be genuine. We as believers, we as followers of Jesus, ought to be people of authentic, genuine, real love. Let love be genuine. What is genuine love? Genuine love is love that is not just, it's more than just words on a page. It's more than just words on our lips. It is living it out, serving like Jesus did with his hands and his feet, and he putting things to action, showing love. That's what genuine, real love is all about, right? And in the last few months, I have seen a lot of genuine, real love here in this community. It's been awesome to see. I've seen people that care for one another and not just saying things to them, but actually going and helping them out, right? People that have gone above and beyond to do things, to show that they truly love and they truly care about their neighbor and they care about those here in the community. It's been awesome to see that, but let me tell you this, we can't stop. We're going to get to a point where things kind of seem like they go back to normal, but let love be genuine. Now is not the time to give up on genuine love. Now is not the time. More than ever, there are still people that are hurting. There are still people that need to see genuine, real love. It says, genuine, real love is to abhor what is evil. As I mentioned, that we were created in love, right? Or God, who is love, created us, right? We were created with the image of God, the image of love within us. Before we were marred by sin, we were created by love. We were created to receive and to give love. And so anything that detracts, anything that takes away from this idea of loving God and loving neighbor is evil, is sin. And so Paul's saying here, let love be genuine. Abhor what is evil. Run away from it. Anything that keeps you from loving God and loving your neighbor, do away with it. Now's not the time to self-pity. Now is not the time to focus in on just me, but to love genuinely by loving God and loving others. We see next that he says to love with one another with brotherly affection, outdoing one another and showing honor. Loving one another with brotherly affection. The awesome thing is that because of Jesus Christ and because of his death on the cross and his resurrection, you and I have an opportunity to be the sons and the daughters of God. We have an opportunity to become children of God. We have an opportunity to be part of the family of God. Right? We're in the family. And nothing's stronger than family, right? And there's no getting away from your family, right? Right? You're in it, right? You're in it. You don't get to choose your family, right? So let love be, let has have brotherly affection towards one another. We're family, and so we have an opportunity as a body of believers here to show family love to one another. Now's not the time to have any kind of disunity. Now's the time more than ever to have unity with brotherly affection. I think of a picture of brotherly affection. I can't help but think of my own family. I know some people, you may have a bad thoughts when you think about your family, but you know, I'm thankful in that I love my family. I love spending time with my family. And then I think about my boys now, especially when we're using the word brotherly affection. My oldest son is 5, named Isaac. Many of you have probably saw him running around just a while ago. And then my middle son is Ian, and he was running even more around. So Isaac is our oldest, who's 5, and he's the tender-hearted one, but he's kind of shy at times until you get him into his element, and he's Mr. Talkative. And then Ian is our Mr. Personality, and nobody's a stranger, and he loves everybody, and he wears this kind of heart on his sleeve. And so what happens is, you know, they're brothers, they pretty much play well together for the most part, but every now and then they start to kind of get rough with one another. It's more so like Isaac beating up on Ian, and usually punching him or hitting him or kicking him or clotheslining him or something, right? You know, they're practicing their wrestling moves. And it happens, and for the most part it's all fun and games, but then occasionally Ian starts to, you know, he starts to lose and he starts to get hurt. So, quote unquote, hurt. And so he's crying, and we're telling Isaac, okay, Isaac, you gotta chill out, buddy. You gotta slow down. You gotta let go. You know, you gotta stop. And, you know, inevitably Isaac will continue on hitting him and continue on trying to whatever. And you know, he'll get a one good hit, and Ian will be crumpled down and crying. And here is Ian's crying on the floor, and we're like, all right, Isaac, that's it. You know, you're gonna get punished, right? And so, whether that's taking away a toy or putting them in timeout or bringing out the wooden spoon, right? And bringing out the wooden spoon is the time where we see this the most, is when all of a sudden Ian will run and get in between us and Isaac and be like, no, no, that's my brother. Stop, stop. No, 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 my brother. And so he runs to get it. He who is just beat up, right, and crumpled on the floor crying, now all of a sudden doesn't want us to do anything, to do any kind of punishment for Isaac. It's this picture of brother. That's what I think of when I think of brotherly affection, because sometimes we get hurt by our family. Sometimes our family is the ones that hurt us the most. But in the midst of that, we cry like, oh, no, I love you. I love you. I'm going to stick up for you. I'm going to do what I can for you. And that's the picture that we see in this verse. Love one another with brotherly affection. Here especially in our church, we have an opportunity to impact our community, but we've got to have this bond of brotherly affection towards one another. We may sometimes hurt one another, but may we say, you know what? I'm going to respond with love. I'm going to respond with showing honor. No matter who you are, I want to show honor. And the next thing we see is, do not be slothful in zeal. Be fervent in spirit to serve the Lord. And now's not the time to stop serving the Lord, right? Now is not the time to give up on serving Him. It says, do not be slothful. Don't be lazy. Be fervent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Now is not the time, as Scott has been teaching us and taking us through the book of Nehemiah and talking about God doing a rebuilding work in our lives, that He is shaping us, that He is doing something new within us, right? This storm has broken down not just our physical walls, but it's broken down things within us. And as a result, we have an opportunity. God has given us an opportunity to be built back up, for Him to grow within us. And the only way that that's going to happen is if we continue to serve the Lord, as we continue to keep our focus on Him. Now's not the time to throw pity parties. Now's not the time to look only to yourself, but we must be fervent to serve the Lord. We as a church, now is not the time to say, okay, let's just focus our attention only on Rockport. You know, Rockport needs our help, and let's forget everything else. Let's forget all these other ministries, and let's just focus in on that. No. Yes, we're to focus in on there's so much work to be done in Rockport. There's so many things to do, but let's not forget our call to serve the Lord in the nation and in the nations as well. We can't be slothful. We can't give up on serving the Lord wherever He's called us to serve. Now's not the time. There's so many opportunities that you have, maybe in your neighborhood, maybe in your job, as we're walking through this together to serve the Lord and point people to Jesus and show the love of God. Then he says, rejoice in hope, be patient in tribulation, be constant in prayer. Rejoice in hope, be patient in tribulation, be constant in prayer. You know, our hope is not in FEMA. Our hope is not in TWIA. Our hope is not in our whatever insurance company. Our hope is not in the government. Our hope is not in our officials. Our hope is not in whatever organization. Our hope is in Jesus Christ. Our hope has a name. His name is Jesus. He is our hope, and we should rejoice in the fact that our hope is the living God, who has created all things and holds all things together. It's by the word of by His word, He holds all things together, right? He has us here, and He will carry us through. Rejoice in the hope, which is Him. And you know, it says to be patient in the tribulation. The rejoicing is what's going to carry us through this tribulation. Because if not, we're just going to focus in on the bad and not see what God is doing as a result. Be patient. Love is patient, right? Love, sometimes you kind of have to struggle through things at times. Kind of have to work through things. It takes time. And so this, he's saying, be patient in the tribulation, as Scott has talked about. It's a slow process, the process of becoming more like Christ. But even now in the midst of this tribulation, no matter if you had little to no damage or incredible damage as a result of the storm, we've all been affected by it, mentally, emotionally, spiritually. We must be patient through it all. And then the way that we can be patient through it all is by being constant in prayer. Being constant in prayer. The thing is, when I center my life on prayer, and when I focus in on praying to God, my attention is drawn to Him. My attention is taken off the things of this world and the stuff that I'm going through, and I'm reminded of who He is, right? I'm reminded of the hope that I have in Jesus. I'm reminded that He has all things together. I'm reminded that I can cast all my cares upon Him. I'm reminded that I can yell out my frustrations to Him, and He's big enough to hold it. He's big enough to carry it. And so it's by being constant in prayer that I can rejoice and that I can wait patiently in this tribulation. Without being in commune with God, it's going to be hard to get through. It's going to get hard to get by. And then the rest of this passage just really kind of sum up. It talks about being, it goes back to the picture of genuine love. By being, showing hospitality to others. By looking to the lowly and not being proud and not being stuck up. By not returning evil for evil, but actually overcoming evil with good, by doing good. All of these are attributes of that genuine, authentic love. And so it's my prayer that you will take this week and maybe mull over these verses and just kind of meditate on these things and realize, how am I to be reactive and how am I to be present in this time? What are the things that I'm to be about? How letting love be genuine, loving one another with brotherly affection, by being patient in this tribulation, by being constant in prayer, rejoicing in the hope that we have, and being fervent to serve the Lord. So this morning, perhaps this morning you just need to be reminded that God loves you. Maybe this morning, you know, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, right? We know that verse so easily, that we just kind of say it without even thinking about it. But God loves you, and that's why Jesus entered into the scene, because he loves you, he created you in love, and he wants to have loving relationship with you, right? So perhaps this morning you just need to be reminded of God's love for you. You're in a place that you are broken down and hurting, and you need to be reminded that there is one that no matter what loves you. Maybe this morning you need to be the one to say, you know, I've been letting this, all of this kind of get to me and letting it focus in on just me and centering all my thoughts on me. I haven't been showing genuine love to my neighbor, genuine love to the Lord. I need to begin doing that today. I need to be reminded and turned back on course for that. Perhaps you've been hurt by someone in here, in this congregation, in this family, and your reaction is that you want to push away. But Jesus says, love one another with brotherly affection. Brotherly affection says, you know what? I'm gonna show honor. I'm gonna love you back, even though I maybe have been hurt. I'm gonna do what Jesus did when he got hurt, and he was to say, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they're doing. He showed forgiveness and love. Maybe this morning you need to just remind yourself that in the midst of this, we need to continue to serve the Lord. God's doing a work in your heart if you allow him, and if you continue to serve him, and you continue to pursue after him this morning. Whatever it is that you need to respond, however it is that you need to respond, I want you to know that you can do that today. And I'm going to pray, and then the altar will be open. And if you want to come and pray, if you want to just sit where you are and pray, that's fine. Whatever it is, I encourage you to respond to the message this morning. Father, we thank you for your love for us. We thank you that, Lord, that you've created us in the image of love. Lord, help us to be reminded and mindful of the fact that you've called us to be people that love genuinely, authentically. That we are to love you and love our neighbor. Lord, that is your will. That is what you've called us to do. And so, Father, I just pray that this morning we would just be reminded of that. Lord, be reminded that we're this family. We're all together as one body. Lord, and we can do so much good for you and for the kingdom of God by uniting together and showing brotherly affection and showing honor to one another. And Father, help us to keep our attention on you so that we are fervent to serve you in all that we do. God, I thank you for your word this morning. Lord, help us to respond. In Jesus' name, amen.